faith is a great part of take courage. Take courage. You're taking something that is God's. It's God-given courage that He gives you. And the expectation for that is a big part of faith. Skepticism, fear, disbelief, it kills faith. And it seems like the media and what's happening now, they're trying to put fear and panic in the heart of people. And what happens then is there's not that expectation of taking courage. Yeah, I want to take that courage that God has for me.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 23 with a message titled, Take Courage.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
Paul, he's finally made his way to Jerusalem. He's always desired to preach to those in Jerusalem and his people. He's he was a Pharisee. He is of the Jewish race, and he has such a passion for his people. And he finally gets there, and he's now in the temple precinct. Remember, in a riot breaks out because of false accusations against Paul. He's rescued by Lysias, that centurion, and then finally, as he's making his way up the Antonia Fortress steps there, he says, can I talk to the people? And Lysias didn't realize that, you know, he speaks Greek. He also speaks Hebrew. And so Paul begins to address the crowd again. But then he mentions that after he gives his testimony, he mentions the fact that God is sending him to the Gentiles. And a riot broke out again. They're throwing dust and everything. And so he's rescued again a second time. Of course, the Jews couldn't get to him there in the Antonia Fortress. But there's a second time. And so Lysias is going to scourge him and find out what, you know, what's going on. Because usually you would scourge somebody to get the truth. And Paul says, you know, is it lawful to scourge a Roman citizen and even bind him? And Lysias goes to his commander. Lysias oversaw 100 as a centurion, 100. But then he went to the commander, who's commanding 1,000 troops, and said, hey, he's a Roman citizen. And so he went down and talked to Paul, and they got together, the Sanhedrin, to kind of find out what's going on. Why is this guy such a lightning rod? And so as Paul is before the Sanhedrin, remember the Pharisee part of the Sanhedrin believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not. They didn't believe in spirits. They didn't believe in life after death. They didn't believe in the resurrection. So Paul says, I'm on trial for the resurrection of the dead. And that created a giant stir, almost a riot again in the Sanhedrin. And Lysias rescues him again. So for the third time, I'm thinking, Lysias is thinking, what kind of guy is this? He's such a lightning rod for controversy. You know, and figuring, what is he saying? What is he doing? Why, you know, why this? But he's got to also be impressed with how bold and brave Paul is. He just stands up against the crowd to preach Christ. He doesn't try to antagonize them. He doesn't shake an angry fist at them, like Pastor Anthony said, but he lifts up holy hands to God and preaches the fact that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, the Gentiles as well, and Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that created a controversy. And so I imagine, I don't know, I'm just kind of thinking out loud, but can you imagine if you were a commander or you were a centurion thinking, man, this guy is so bold, so brave. If we had soldiers like him, we would be unstoppable. Well, pretty much the Roman army was unstoppable anyway, but I'm sure that impressed them, that boldness, that bravery of Paul. And you see, that always commands respect. When you're bold and brave in the right thing, it commands respect. But if you're weak and wavering, hey, you lose respect from people. And so here in chapter 23 of Acts, verse 11, if you've joined us late, we're going to go to verse 22, but I'm going to spend most of the time here in the first part, and then we just kind of read the rest because it's pretty much a narrative, and we'll see that. But it says, let me read out of the King James because it says something here that impresses me. I like this. To me, it gives a lot of light on it. It says, and the night following, now this was following when he was arrested. So he had, I wouldn't call it arrested. He was arrested, but he was rescued as well. But he's in the Antonia fortress. He's held there. And so he had a whole night to think about this. He had a long time to contemplate what was going on. And it says, the night following, the Lord stood by him and said to him, be of good cheer, or New American Standard, take courage, because that's what I've titled this, take courage, from verses 11 to 22 of Acts 23. And then, be of good cheer, Paul, because the New American Standard doesn't have Paul's name. It just refers to him as you, but it has Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome. I like the fact that God calls him Paul, that God knows his name, knows your name, knows my name. Now, and New American Standard doesn't say that. The New American Standard just simply says that, but on the night immediately following, the Lord stood at his side and said, take courage, for as you have solemnly witnessed to me my cause at Jerusalem, you shall also witness at Rome. You see, when somebody calls you by name, you like that, don't you? I mean, when people remember my name, I like that. And then sometimes people make excuses. Well, I'm not very good at names. I don't remember who you are. Wait a minute. You've been here at Calvary Chapel for 5 years. You don't know my name? People have been here a long time. They call me Bob. Well, my name's Bill. Oh, I'm sorry. But I have to admit, sometimes I don't remember names as well. But I got a lot of names to try to remember. Sometimes people come up to me after, you know, they haven't been here for like ages. And they'll go, you remember me? And I go, you look a little familiar. Don't you remember me? No, I don't. Tell me your name. You know, I like it when people come up and say, hi, I'm Bob, or I'm Bill. Remember, I used to be in church 10 years ago. I will usually do that, even though I think people might know me. You know, if I'm at a pastor's conference, I'll say, hi, Bill Stonebreaker from Hawaii. I know you, Bill. But you see, there was a time when I had to tell our staff and some of our people, because it's very convenient to go, hey, how you doing, bro? Wait a minute, their name's not bro. Try to remember their name. I'm not good at names. Yeah, but try to remember their name. Write it down. Some of the guys and girls write down their name. And so, you know, you like it when, especially when God knows your name. He does. And so to me, that impressed me, a small thing, but Paul, you've testified for me. And I think what we find here, you know, when you go into your commentary or even some of your study Bibles, what you find is sometimes they will say, as I've read, when I look at the commentaries, they say, well, Paul kind of blew his chance. And at this point, he was dejected because he misspoke. Notice how he created riots. Notice how he alienated the people from him. You know, he must have really felt bad. But wait a minute. He spoke God's truth. God was going to send him to the Gentiles. He spoke God's truth of the resurrection. You can't say that he blew it just because people rejected him. You see, it's only God that can change a hard-hearted person. Only God can humble a person to where they will believe the very things that Paul was preaching. Plus, remember when Paul came and he began to talk about what God was doing in the Gentile world? And James said, oh, we have thousands that believe and they're zealous for the law. Wait a minute. Believe in Jesus, zealous for the law. Whatever you put next to Jesus, equal with Jesus, is wrong. Yeah, I'm a born-again Christian, and I'm an avid surfer. Oh, yeah? Why do you put that in the same sentence? You know, I'm a born-again Christian, and I'm an avid golfer, or whatever it might be. You see, somehow it doesn't fit, because in my mind, I'm going, where's the church? Where's the church here? Why aren't they standing up for Paul? You see, thousands of believers, we read it in Jerusalem there, chapter 21, verse 20. But you know what? Maybe, just maybe, I don't know. Again, I'm speculating a little bit. But just maybe this gave them some steel in their zealous for the law spines when they saw Paul going through this. Because they look pretty weak. They're not standing up at this point. And I'm wondering why. You see, if one part of the body was being persecuted here in Hawaii, would you say anything? Or would you just be in the background? You'd let the officials just, you know, pound on them, beat on them, and, you know, whatever. You know, I would hope not. I would hope there would be enough steel in our spine to, you know, we're not so much of a surfer and a believer that we go, well, wait a minute, the surf's up today. I've got to go surfing before I stick up for this Christian that's being persecuted. Well, we don't know, but I'm just thinking about that. Maybe it did give him some courage, seeing what Paul was going through. But note this, when there's any fault finding of Paul in this situation, Paul approved of him. Even though the Bible scholars might find some fault with Paul, hey, God approved him. And now, maybe Paul, even in his own heart, because I know in myself, and maybe you as maybe a teacher, a Bible teacher, a Sunday school teacher, maybe even teaching at our Christian school or teaching at any school, and with Paul, maybe he was wondering if, you know, he didn't deliver what, you know, he could have. And maybe he was thinking that because he wasn't getting the response he was hoping for. He was hoping for many conversions. He was hoping to touch their hearts. And you see, when that doesn't happen, sometimes we question ourselves. You know, it's been said, usually when a pastor preaches, he preaches two sermons. The one he gives in the pulpit, and the one he preaches on the way home after the service. Oh, I should have said this. I shouldn't have said that. And I think it's the same way for maybe Bible teachers. You're always wanting to be effective in the people's lives. Or maybe even a Sunday school teacher, or maybe even one of our teachers in our Christian school. Especially because you could kind of grade the papers and you see, wow, they're not doing very well. And I think really good teachers, sometimes they go, yeah, the student's got a problem with studying, but then they'll look at themselves, am I not communicating with them to bring them up in a higher level? I think that's always true with any kind of teaching. And I don't know, it doesn't say that Paul felt that way, but I suspect he could have, he might have. You see, what we're seeing here in verse 11, as we already read it, that notice that God stood at his side, stood with him in prison. And all these longings, all these thinkings that Paul was going through, he had a long time to think, at least overnight, and now God is right there with him. The Lord always was with him there, you know, but now the Lord makes himself known to him. I think we often think that God is working if he delivers us out of some circumstance. But if he doesn't deliver us out of a circumstance we're in, then he's not near. He's not working. Something's wrong. Something's wrong either with my relationship with God, or maybe he doesn't love me like he loves others, or sometimes we think of that. You see, when the fact is that he wants to meet us in our circumstance. You know, I've been thinking about this COVID-19 shutdown, this coronavirus thing that we're going through, and our prayer meeting yesterday morning, a lot of guys there, 25 or, you know, more, but just really guys are wanting to pray, wanting to seek the Lord. And one of the things that the Lord showed me is, instead of just almost saying, this is an inconvenience, let's get back to how we were before, you have to realize the providence of God has allowed this to happen. And so in my mind, there was just kind of a changing, a thing where we've got to embrace our circumstances and realize God wants to meet us in those circumstances. Because I think a lot of what's going on now, there's a sifting taking place in the body of Christ. There are those, because the government has shut down basically churches, you can't come to church. There are some people that are feeling like, I could take a vacation from church because the government shut it down. There's the sifting. There's the sifting of the wheat from the tares. I don't know if they're tares, but I'm just saying that there's a weakness in their faith, and there's just a compromise in their faith if they think, oh, good, we're on vacation from church. I don't have to come to church. I don't have to serve in church. I don't have to worship in church. I don't have to come and give my tithes and offerings in church. Oh, I wasn't doing that anyway, so that doesn't matter. I'm being a little sarcastic there, but they say that 90% of the budget of the church is given by 20% of the people. But you see, I think a sifting is going on. You see, the Bible says judgment is going to begin at the house of the Lord. So maybe this is just a prelude of God rapturing the church. He's separating right now nominal believers who just are religious, and those who are born again, those who really want to serve the Lord, want to be with the Lord. That very well could be taking place. And so I just mentioned to the guys, we need to embrace this. But you see, I look at this crisis, and in one sense, in my flesh, I get a little bit upset. But you see, I realize that God is greater than that. I don't want to shake an angry fist, as Pastor Anthony said, but I want to lift up holy hands. God, what are you doing? What have you got for us? Is this part of a great revival that is going to take place? It's going to sweep the land, sweep Hawaii, sweep the nation? Or is this just part right before the rapture is going to take place? Ah, God, show us. We want to be part of it. But as we go on, there are other times. So what does God tell Paul? He says, take courage. And that's what the Lord is telling us in our crises now. Sometimes it's hard, but he says, take courage. You find that there are at least 7 times where God says that to others that are in a desperate situation, in a difficult situation, where it seems like there's no way out. Remember in Capernaum, that man, that lame man? He was lame from birth, and his 4 friends brought him, and Jesus there in Capernaum teaching, they couldn't get in the door, so they ripped off the tiling of the roof and let him down. And the Bible says, seeing his faith, he said to the man, take courage. Your sins are forgiven. And then he has him take up his pallet and walk. He says, you're healed. You see, but faith is a great part of take courage. You see, when you think of it, take courage. You're taking something that is God's. It's God-given courage that he gives you. And the expectation for that is a big part of faith. Skepticism, fear, disbelief, it kills faith. And it seems like the media and what's happening now, they're trying to put fear and panic in the heart of people. And what happens then is there's not that expectation of taking courage. Yeah, I want to take that courage that God has for me. Remember that woman for 12 years, she was bleeding. She had feminine problems and she spent all her money on doctors and she even got worse. And then she came and she thought, you know, if I just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I'll be whole. There's the expectation. There's the faith. And she does that. And Jesus said, take courage. Your faith has made you well. And at once she was made whole. You see, but she was just kind of sneaking through the crowd and to touch him. She didn't realize that she would be exposed and her faith would be exposed. I think our faith needs to be exposed. People need to see that we are people of faith. And then remember Jesus after the feeding of the 5,000 and he sent the disciples on the Sea of Galilee to cross. Jesus up praying on the mountain, and then the boat was tossed by the waves, battered by the waves, and here comes Jesus walking on the water. He wanted to get to the other side, and the disciples saw him. They thought it was a ghost. And Jesus said, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. And then he calmed the storm, came into the boat. Well, you find that in Matthew. I haven't quoted the scriptures, but the first one was Matthew 9:2. The second one with a woman with the issue of blood was Matthew 9:22. And here, walking on the sea, you find two places of that in Matthew 14:27 and Mark 6:50. And then also, remember blind Bartimaeus? Actually, the name of our lab, who's about 10 years old, a little bit older than that, Danita heard, when I had Bob Haig speak one Sunday morning, Danita heard his sermon on Bartimaeus. And so she thought, let's name our dog Bartimaeus. So we did. And it was a good message by Bob. But remember him where Jesus passes by in Jericho? And they said, oh, it's Jesus. And Bartimaeus, he's sitting by the side of the road and he's crying out, son of David, have mercy on me. And that was a messianic term, son of David.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 23, titled Take Courage. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
Blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 23. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.